attention à tous les auditeurs francophones, l'épisode qui va suivre sera entièrement en anglais. Hello and welcome to Caribbean Lifestyle, a podcast that seeks to promote the Caribbean way of life while taking into account the specificities of this region. I'm Anaïs and I'm originally from Guadeloupe. It is during my studies in France, more than 8,000 kilometers away from home, that I became more and more interested in my region of origin, in a broad sense. During this period, I realized that I did not know enough about the Caribbean. Well, I already knew some things, like the common history that each island shares, the musical influences or the culinary similarities that can be found from one island to another. But it wasn't enough for me. Over the years, I have had the opportunity to visit a few islands. Of course, all of the islands of my archipelago: Martinique, Dominica, St. Lucia, and Puerto Rico. No matter where I have been, I have always felt at home. I have always been welcomed. I felt that I shared some things in common with the islands, despite the few differences I experienced. For me, the Caribbean has sweet, spicy, and aromatic flavors, smooth and exalted rhythms, exceptional writers that make you question yourself or that allow you to travel, a plurality of linguistic sounds, a range of landscapes with multiple nuances, but also common economic, social, and environmental challenges. In my opinion, this is where the richness of this region of the world resides. Everything that makes the Caribbean both singular and plural, diverse and similar. In creating the Caribbean Lifestyle podcast, my intention is to give a voice to other Caribbean people living in the Caribbean or who are located in the four corners of the globe. The Caribbean Lifestyle podcast is also a way to highlight inspiring stories, initiatives, companies, or associations that contribute to the development and influence of the Caribbean. And all of this, kindly, in a good mood, and with a touch of critical thinking. In the episode of the day, I welcome Deja Joan. How are you, Deja?
Hi. Hi, Anaïs. I'm good. Really good.
So, if I am right, Deja, you are an author, an artist, and you have a strong interest in fashion design. I also know that you come from two islands of the Caribbean, St. Lucia and Trinidad and Tobago. Can you tell us more about you?
Yeah, that's correct. I did recently publish my book, Fair Helen's Midnight. It's about my dear island, St. Lucia. And also, you're right, my mom is from Trinidad and my dad is St. Lucian. My dad, surprisingly, was also raised in Jamaica. So I got a little bit of that influence as well. Art is one of my, it's a hobby of mine. And most of my art, it reflects about home, my culture, how colorful it is, the women, the landscape. That's what I tend to paint about, especially the fabric, the madras, the national fabric of St. Lucia. That influences my artwork. In terms of fashion, yes, I used to be into the fashion industry and started from home. I started picking up actually from home, but as time went on with all the modeling and stuff, and then other things came in place, I had to put that aside. But yes, I did do a bit of modeling in different countries for quite some time. Yeah.
And how it was for you to grow up between St. Lucia, TNT, Jamaica, well, with the Jamaican influence, I will say, how it was for you?
I really grew an appreciation for my island upbringing, living in other countries, to be honest. You really appreciate where you come from when you're not there. So at times, some people from the time they're young, they're rooted in their culture and that's fine. But for me personally, I really grew that appreciation when we first moved to the US. I went to elementary school in Louisiana for about 2 or 3 years, and there was a talent show, and they were asking, you know, what could I perform? And I suddenly thought, like, what could I perform? And then my mom gave me the idea of doing a poem, which is, I think it's actually a Jamaican poem, Sammy did. And we also sang Mangoes, Mangoes, 2 Caribbean songs. And I wore my national wear and everything. And I was so proud because everybody was like, wow, you know, they've never seen that before. Where is it from? And that's when people sparked an interest in, like, you know, where I'm from and that appreciation of being different in the American setting. So I realized, huh, okay, this is how I can connect with people who are not from the Caribbean. It's been, back to your question, it's been quite a journey with connecting to my roots, honestly. And I'm grateful for my parents who are able to, you know, keep that grounded in me. Even no matter where I lived, no matter where we went, we always kept our Caribbean culture, whether it be the food, the way we dress, the way we talk. We always had that in us. Even though, yes, our accents may change depending on the setting, but when it comes out, you know, the twang, it comes out and people tend to appreciate it and laugh because they're like, oh, you sound different. They love how Caribbean people sound. So yeah, I love that. That influence that they put in me, it made it so a colorful upbringing. It's a colorful upbringing. That's the best way to put it.
I will come back to what you just say about traveling. So when you was a child, you start to travel with your parents. You live in the US.
Yes.
Did you live when you was young in other countries?
Yes. To be fair, I would, when I was a baby, my mom would frequently bring me across to Trinidad. So I did a bit of preschool there. And then we moved to the US. Thereafter, 3 years or so, we came back to St. Lucia. But my dad got a job back in Trinidad. So we ended up moving back to Trinidad where I did my high school. Finished up my CXEs there. So after that, then I moved back to St. Lucia. So back and forth thing in my life.
Wow.
I finished high school, went to college in St. Lucia, worked for a little while, and then I got a scholarship to Taiwan. And that was the first time I moved out on my own without my family and Taiwan, it's a whole different culture, whole different, you know, language, literally the other side of the world. So being there, I saw the need to be like almost like an informal ambassador for my country. All my country mates, we would try to make, cross-cultural experiences with other persons in the class as much as possible. We take part in a lot of school activities at university and they appreciated it. They're like, oh, because a lot of people in Asia, especially in Taiwan, they don't really know about the Caribbean in general. Like we know about Asia through our geography at school. I would always say like, for some reason, Caribbean people are more geographically aware. We know our map more than others.
Yes, it's true. I share this opinion too.
Yeah, I'm so surprised because I'm like, yeah, I know about Taiwan, I know about China. Well, we know about Asia. We may not know every country in detail, but we have an idea. But when we go over there, they're like, what? Where is that? Is it in Africa? No. Is it in America? No, not really. We're near, but you always have to try to help them navigate the graph in the map in their mind. And they would the best reference for them would always be Jamaica, Bob Marley, or Rihanna, Barbados. And I'll be like, yes, we're close to these places. And even then, they still do not have an idea where these people are. So you have to try to show them sometimes. Thank goodness for Google. It really helps them to see the beauty of our islands. And I've shown this to many people. Now that I'm in Hungary, because after Taiwan, I did a little bit of globetrotting, but then we settled in Hungary. And even here, I've done 2 English exchange classes, which I use that time, that opportunity to educate the children about the Caribbean, and with a focus on my island, of course, because that's where I'm from. But I still let them see the map and the island chain and let them know that each island is unique. Each island speaks a different language, has their own culture, but we share some things in common, like music, arts, you know? I just try my best to educate in my travels because I see the need for it, because we're so small, you know?
Yeah. This is great. I saw you became an ambassador of the Caribbean.
Yeah, indirectly I did. I didn't notice. I never thought that would happen in my life. But once I got out there, I realized, yeah, we are very unique. And a lot of people, when they do get to know us and they get to see where we're from, they really are in awe of our beauty, our culture, whether it be the people are beautiful, the land is beautiful, the beaches, you know, all these things, they appreciate it better. They appreciate us.
You share a first, how can I say that? A first episode in brackets about how you share your Caribbean identity with the other people in other countries. Do you have another episode like this that you can share with us? Something that really shock you, or something that do you something inside of you, if you see what I mean?
Like during a presentation, if something was said or that shocked me.
Yes, no, not the episode with the poem, but maybe something else, or something when you share your Caribbean identity, you were surprised.
Like in my presentation, what surprises the audience?
No, and not with your presentation, but do you have another episode like this, another things that you can share with us? Not with the poem, but something else, because the poem was when you was a child, but at the beginning of your adulthood, for instance.
In terms of like partaking in other activities, you mean?
Yes, or for instance, you was in Hungary. When you are in Hungary, do you have a episode when you say to some people in the street, yes, I come from the Caribbean, okay. I'll say act, something like that, I mean.
Oh, outside of the presentations in the school settings and stuff, sometimes when you get into, like, let's say a taxi, that was in Greece, actually. The guy was kind of guarded in the beginning, and then he asked, you know, where are you from? And to be honest, he was a bit aggressive about it. And I just, you know, put that aside, and I said, well, I'm from the Caribbean. And literally, he changed. I do not know why. I don't know what happened. He's like, oh, the Caribbean. Oh, okay. Like, I've had many encounters like this where people, at first, they're very guarded, can be very rash. But then when you temper them down a bit and try to, you know, get a little friendlier in the conversation and tell them where you're from, then they completely change their attitude, and they're like, oh, but why are you here?
Okay.
You can probably, why are you here? Yeah, I've had many cases like that.
Considering everything you said about your childhood, your when you start to travel alone, for you, what is the Caribbean way of life? how you can define it.
Okay. I would go back to the thing I said earlier about the how vibrant we are, how passionate we are, and this shows in everything that we do. When we dance, we have, you know, the zouk, we have the new segment, we have soca, we have reggae, just mm-hmm. our music, the way we paint. We have, I would say, famous artists, local artists. Sometimes they're so underrated, but when you see their work, it's like, wow, so much color, so much expression in it. And expression in the sense that you as a Caribbean person, you can identify with that portrait in some way, you know? So that's the artistic side of things. When we're talking, our gestures, mannerisms, the way we talk, the twang, you know, for St. Lucia, we switch from English to Creole mid-sentence. And sometimes when you say that joke in English, it does not come down as good as when it comes in Creole, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That and the way we dress. Oh, Caribbean people, we love to dress up. We love to dress up. And when we do it well. I must admit, we do it well. Okay, we execute it well and we like our colors. And I'm very proud of this up and coming generation because before we would only wear our madras on, you know, special occasions, mm-hmm. national holidays and stuff. But now we've incorporated it into everyday fashion. You know, you have your head wraps, girls wearing their little tops made from madras. I love that. There's a girl in St. Lucia who actually made a line. I wish I remembered her Instagram. I'll try to find it for you. But there are many young people now who are incorporating different local arts and fabrics and fashion that, you know, you never think of in the past. Even like wood carving, they're bringing that up. There's a guy who's doing that. So a lot of the things that we used to take for granted, like I generally took it for granted, like a whole pot. Now you wouldn't find that anymore, but I appreciate it now. So I really like how we show ourselves in everything that we do. We're just vibrant people, lively people in general. No matter what, you can tell this is a Caribbean person in a crowd. They speak, you just know, ah, you're from Belize. Ah, you're Jamaican. Mm, you're from Barbados. You're from Guadeloupe. You just hear that accent and you only a Caribbean person can identify.
I remember at the beginning of our exchange, you start to say things about your book. Can you tell us more about it? You say that it's a book about some inspiration you get from your family, right?
It's from home, actually. The inspiration is from home. And my uncle, who's an illustrator by profession, helped me to illustrate the book. I didn't want anybody else but a Caribbean person to illustrate this book. And it was even better that it was a St. Lucian who can do it, because then they can execute the vision that I had for it better, because they were raised there. Because the name of it is Fair Helen's Midnight. Some may know that St. Lucia is the only country that's named after a woman, you know, the Helen, the saint. So this book is a poem, basically, that we illustrated poem that we put together, I would say like 2 years ago, but we released it last year. And we did it during COVID times, because, you know, everybody in that time, you're home. You have to find something to do. And I just thought, you know, as a mom, what is my mother and, basically? I'm a mom and what? I'm a mom and now I'm an author. So he helped me to illustrate down to the different national icons of St. Lucia, I would say, like our parrots, incorporated our national plans, incorporated the Madras, he incorporated the heritage site, the Peters. He made sure to really touch on a lot of the iconic scenery that everyone who looks at this would know that, yeah, that is Saint Lucia. Oh, I remember this looks like a rat library, this looks like Chauzel. Oh, this is from Super. So yeah, I needed someone who was from Saint Lucia to help this vision come alive. And my uncle did that, Mr. Conan John.
This is beautiful.
Thank you.
And if, for instance, the listeners want to buy your book, where they can find it?
It's actually on Amazon. It's easier for others to get it online. It's on Amazon, Fair Helen's Midnight. You can get it there. You can get it on the Dorrance website, which is my publishing company, Dorrance website. They have a bookstore there and you can type it in and get it there as well. On island, it's available at the two hotels, the Bay Gardens Hotel and the Morgan Hotel. At these two places for now. I'm trying to get it into another local store, but seeing that I'm here, it's a little bit difficult. I'm back in Hungary, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, well, I will put all of this information in the description of the episode so people will see where they can find the book. Well, we almost at the end of the episode. I will have two last questions. The first one is about what would you like to see develop, change, improve, or evolve in the Caribbean? You talk a lot about what makes the Caribbean so bright, but also you travel a lot, so you have the opportunity to see a lot of different things. So that's why I am asking this question now. What for you, you want to see change, develop, involve, evolve, or improve?
I would say for the Caribbean in general, especially for Saint Lucia, I observed that a number of younger people, like I said, they're using what was traditional to make it more modern. That is great. However, after speaking to a lot of these young entrepreneurs, you realize that they have a frustration when it comes to getting a little assistance to start up their business, right? Or even marketing their business. They don't have that support, whether it be from government or, I don't know, a workspace where people can liaise and, you know, connect and network. It's a bit difficult. I realized that, especially with after COVID, a lot of people had to give up on certain businesses just to, because of everything being tough. And I mean, this is worldwide, right? The economy is at a tough stage right now, to be fair. But it would be great for young people to have that support to bring out their businesses that presents us to the international market, because I realize a lot of people abroad don't necessarily only want what is popular, they also want what is unique, that niche. So there are people who just want to buy, like let's say the rums, they want to buy rums from unique places that, you know, other people don't necessarily have access to. Let's say that the chairman's from Saint Lucia. I was surprised to see that it's here in Hungary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is a very highly recognized rum. It's been awarded worldwide. So in Hungary, you cannot get it any and everywhere, right? You would see that like the 5-star hotels and stuff. So we need to focus on what makes us and how we can help young people live and thrive on that. And back in the day, we would tell children, you know, study, be a doctor, be a lawyer, be, you know, these office jobs. But that is not the only way. We need our artists, we need our musicians, we need our weavers to weave baskets and stuff, because people will buy these things for their houses and their children, and they have a purpose. So I'm really hoping that as the years go by, we give that spotlight to fashion, to craft, to art, to musicians, so it becomes more lucrative for them rather than them having to struggle to make it on the top, you know? That's what I hope.
You mean work more in cooperation, maybe create a cooperative for entrepreneurs or a group of entrepreneurs so they can work together and push themselves to show what they do to other countries, other people than only St. Lucian?
Yes, that, and hopefully the government can also give that support as well. Because I mean, yes, you can get a scholarship for business, you can get a scholarship for engineering and chemistry, but you cannot get a scholarship for being a musician or an artist. You can't get that. You can't. So I'm hoping that they can include that in scholarship options. Because in Europe, I mean, you would see people studying music, and that is a very serious thing for them. That is their profession. So why can't we have that for us?
All right. So this is my last question, but I think we can have a clue about the answer. What do you think that makes the Caribbean region unique, special? Like, for instance, you see something and you say, okay, this is us. I know you talk about Madras, but actually Madras is not 100% from the Caribbean, because it comes from India.
The African roots too,
yes.
That's the thing about us. We are not, you see us, but we are not just one. We're not just not one person. Because of our history, all of us are, we have that African in us. We have the European in our blood. We have the Indian in our blood. Everybody is mixed in the Caribbean. But it's a matter of how we took this and how it's engraved in our history, in our today, right? Because it's rooted, everything about us is rooted to something else. Like you said, the Madras is from India, even the spices, the way we cook is from India and Africa. We have that, but when you taste our food, you know it's Caribbean food. It might have some hints or flavors of these other countries or states, but it is unique to us. We made it in a way that it is ours, our national way, the wobjiet. No other country has that. You know, this is, or is it close to the wobjiet? In Guadeloupe, your national way has the same.
Yes, we have Madras too.
Right, you have Madras too, but is it the wobjiet is the same? Like, do you have that?
We have it in a style that we call broderie. You see the big dress and the kind of hat that the woman wear. It's not a hat, but I don't remember how you call it. And we style it in different way. And depending on how it is, it means that, for instance, a woman is single, is married, or she's interested. In Martinique, they have the same too. I don't know if in St. Lucia they have that, but
that's the thing. We have it too. So we share that.
Yes.
We share that. But St. Lucia has two. We have the, oh, the world yet, and I'm forgetting the other one. I will let you know once we're off air. We have two, but the warped yet is more grand. It's more like it's more like a wedding dress. It has many layers, and the outer layers are most colorful parts. And then we have the simpler one.
We have the same, but we have different also in Guadeloupe. We can have that one, but we have other ones that more simple, but still with what we call broderies, a little design at the end of the dress.
Okay. So you see, well, we share that, but I'm sure if I see yours and I look at mine, I would be able to identify who is the Saint Lucian who's from Guadeloupe. So it's more about taking what we were influenced by in our past and making us our own. The food, the language, especially when we're speaking in public, you know, a Saint Lucian accent is different from a Bajan accent. Even the Creole, it would have French, it has the African roots, it has Spanish roots, it's mixed of everything, but it is ours. It is ours, it's how we communicated in the past. The music, not like any other. However, the drumming and stuff, that is African, but we have soca, we have things that are derived from it. So, and one that's unique to the Caribbean would be pan. That's the one instrument that I know that
is
definitely from the Caribbean.
Yes.
So we have things that are ours, but yes, most of it is influenced by our roots. And that's okay. That's what makes us us.
Yeah. I think what makes us unique is the way that we are mixed with so many different things, and we manage to create something new from that.
So beautiful. Like, nobody can say this person looks like a Caribbean person. You cannot, because we all look so different. Our skin tones vary. You have the extremely dark skin, and then it goes all the way to white. And all of us are Caribbean people. Imagine that. It's only when a person talks or the way they dress, you will know that that is a Caribbean person.
This is the end. We come to the end of the episode. Do you like to add something else?
I really look forward to hearing more from more insight from other persons on this podcast, because I know, you know, Caribbean people, we all have our own opinions and share some ideologies. So I look forward to many more episodes with you and whoever else you decide to bring on your show. Thank you so much for this.
You're welcome. You will hear other opinions about other people in the episode. Thank you, Deja, for accepting my invitation for this moment. Stay tuned for other episodes. Thanks, Deja.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you liked this episode or got curious, you can share it with your relatives. I also invite you to rate it and leave a comment on the platform where you listen to your podcasts. Or give your opinion on the Instagram account at caribbean.lifestyle.podcast. Thank you for your listening, and stay tuned for more episodes.